So before we begin, I just have a request. Does anybody have a Windows-driven phone? I think I can't remember. It's not an Android, I don't think. But no. Okay. Trying to do something here for somebody. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. She liked to tell people her name was Happy Bottom. Her name was Gladys. Work it out. When I met her, she was in her 70s, and she was probably profoundly the most sad person I'd ever met. She just never was happy because she never could get the one thing that she was looking for. She was a woman who was raised through the Depression era, and so she was so affected by that that there wasn't anything she'd throw away. She was a hoarder, but she was the neatest hoarder I had ever seen. She had boxes upon boxes throughout her basement and upper in her attic, and each of the boxes on the side had an inventory of what was in the box clearly marked on the side of the box on a piece of paper which had been taped there. And her life was spent going through those boxes day after day, rechecking the inventory, seeing if there was anything possible that she could get rid of. Seldom there was, but she kept going through that same process. One day when I was visiting her, she pulled out a box, and on the side of the box it said PNC certificate. And it was a shoebox, and out of the shoebox she pulled out a stack of stock certificates from PNC Bank. Approximately, I think, 168,000 shares. And so in that box in front of me, because I went back and checked what the value of the stock was in the office, was about $4.5 million in a shoebox. And she had other shoeboxes with other certificates because her father was a wise investor. He had invested with a local bank in northern New Jersey that soon after about 10 different acquisitions ended up being part of PNC. He bought this really odd stock early on in his life from a company named Bell Telephone. And as that company continued to grow and was eventually split off, the stocks were then split time and time again. And she had tens of millions of dollars. She lived in this modest ranch house filled with these boxes, and she was utterly unhappy because she couldn't get what she most desired. She swore her husband Rudy had married her for her money, and she may have been right because watching their interactions, there was no affection that was ever shared between the two of them, not even kind words. She sought love. Gladys and Rudy had two boys. Upon my arrival in the area, they were in their mid and late 50s. Both of the boys were born developmentally disabled. And because of their disabilities, they were unable to share with their mother the love that she was looking for. They weren't able to give her those sorts of cues and that sort of attention that she needed. And while I was there, within a 2-year period, both of them died. And her world came crashing down. And she and everybody else within the town would speak often about her boys. And they were always known, not so much individually, but collectively, as the boys. Now, the reason why I mention this story about Gladys is the fact that I was reminded of another set of boys last Saturday. David and Cecil Rosenthal were two developmentally disabled brothers who were murdered at the Tree of Life Synagogue a week ago yesterday in the Squirrel Hill section of Pittsburgh. Needlessly gunned down by a madman with an array of weapons. Gunned down because of a hatred that had fomented within his heart. A hatred where he believed that anyone who had anything to do with any sort of refugee resettlement needed to be taken care of. We do refugee resettlement. We do a lot of things here, and those things that we do are things that have been taught to us by an array of people over our lifetime. People that we know and people we've read about, people we've seen examples of life for, and people who have guided us by the hand. You see, these saints that have come into our lives have come into our lives for a purpose. And that purpose is to help us understand the ways of God. That purpose is to help us live our lives in a manner for which God expects. The purpose of the saints within our lives is to teach us truly about love. That love that God has placed within our world and within our hearts. That love that is supposed to motivate us. That love that is supposed to guide us. That love that is supposed to teach us to find the better ways and the better parts of the world to share with the people around us those gifts that God has instilled within us. The gift of love is the primary gift that has come to us by God through the saints. Because the saints who have touched us, the saints who have cared for us, the saints who have loved us, the saints who have made us the people we are today are the ones who have shared with us that love. And it is that love that has set them apart for us. These five individuals that we remember today are only a small, small portion of the saints who have come into our lives. The saints that have lead us, the saints that guide us, the saints that teach us, the saints who allow us to love. Last Saturday, a national narrative that has been screaming across the world is one that fomates hatred and fear within the lives of people around us. People who have a solid footing can look at these things and understand them to be political rhetoric and set them aside. And so we choose to ignore them from time to time, choose not to allow them to shape what our decision-making might be. But there are others who cannot. And in the world in which we live, God insists that we live within this world of love. And a world of love cannot stand silent when hatred is thrown across the world, where fear is injected into people's lives. Love needs to stand forth and to stand firm to be able to let the world know that these things shall not stand. That we are not a people who are driven out of fear or driven by hatred of people who are different than us. We are not people who are allowed to walk through this world thinking that we must protect ourselves from everybody else that we encounter. But rather, we are people who are called by love to reach out to a needy world, to reach out to people like us and people who are different from us, to be able to care for them, to be able to heal them, to be able to take whatever their needs might be and to work for their betterment. The saints have taught us to love. Love conquers fear. Love can destroy hatred. But love only works if we speak with love, if we stand firm and fast to allow the world to know that we, as members of the body of Christ, will not stand forth and allow this world to be torn apart through lies and through hatred and through the rejection of people because of the color of their skin, where they come from, how they happen to worship, or any other reason. We are the children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been taught by the saints to stand forth and to stand firm and to live our lives in love. And it is here we must stand, within the love of God, and only the love of God. And when others speak otherwise, when people speak in terms of things that we know not to be right, not to be about what God has taught us or the saints have taught us, then we need to make a stand. And we need to make a statement. And we need to allow the world to know that this hatred will not stand, that destruction and division is not part of who we are, that we alone with the saints and the people of God will live in love and love only. It is here that we stand, in the love of God. And for that love, we need to allow the world to know when something simply cannot be. Amen.